Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Have you been thinking of becoming a Saints Happy Hour patron? We have an offer you can't refuse. Sign up, and if you don't think Saints Happy Hour is the best daily Saints podcast and you aren't having a blast chatting on our private Discord channel with other Saints fans, we will refund your money. No questions asked. If you sign up at the $10 level, you can even keep our Boost Bundle welcome gift after the refund. You have absolutely nothing to lose, so go to saintshappyhour.com and sign up today.
Everybody grades Saints old drafts, but they never grade their mock drafts. Today, we're going to change that. We're going to grade Kevin's 2022 Saints mock draft. Was it better than the Saints' actual 2022 draft? Let's find out. Thomas, hit that intro.
Welcome to the award-winning Saints Happy Hour podcast. Seriously, this podcast has won awards. American standards are dropping every day. The show features Ralph, the best host in the world, who can barely pronounce his own name, much less anyone else's.
Marcus Callaway.
Dave is that dude who loves taking bathroom breaks. He's mad about almost anything, so make sure to lower your volume when he speaks.
Put that freaking clown meme back up that I made. Jesus Christ.
Andrew has sources, watches tapes, and knows football. He rarely shows up on time and wants to commit crimes to help the Saints win.
Sean Payton would have done illegal things. Don't tell me I'm wrong, because you know it's true.
Oh, and there's also Kevin, who is great at doing mock drafts, but struggles to actually watch Saints games or have a functioning relationship.
Budrich wants to know how the doctor's doing.
That ended.
Anyway, grab a drink, sit back, and enjoy the insanity.
All right, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Saints Happy Hour Podcast. I'm Ralph Marlboro. I'm joined by Kevin. And as always, we got Thomas running the show back in Poland. Remember to rate, review us, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast. Or if you're watching on YouTube, give our channel a follow and share this awesome content wherever you do the social media thing. All right, Kevin. So this is Thomas's idea, and I love it. He said, you know, everybody always rates Saints old drafts, and they go through every pick of the last 5 years, and they rank them 1 to 50 or whatever. But people never grade their own mock drafts. And they say, hey, I could draft better than the Saints. And we do 1,000 mocks, right? And we forget about them, and then we just rip the Saints or other teams to shreds when they make mistakes, and we never go back and look at our mock drafts.
Well, that's what the talking heads do. Talk. No self-reflection.
Well, you are a mock draft expert. You know all these players. So we said, wait, we're going to hold our expert accountable, and we're going to make fun of him. Kevin, I'm sure he didn't do as good a job as the Saints did in 2022. We're going to grade your official mock draft, you know, because we all take turns doing a mock draft every year on the main show. And this was your main mock draft. We're going to go through it pick by pick, and we're going to see, did you hit or did you miss? And then we're going to compare it and say, overall, how was it? How did it do to compare it to the Saints 2022 actual draft? And this exercise is great. So, Thomas, let's get started.
All right. So let's see the whole draft first, I think. That's a good idea.
Yeah. And this was my official... This was my official final mock draft that I presented
with
on the
only board. One trade, by the way. Only one trade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Only one trade down before the draft.
And if you're... read them off, Kevin, because if people are just doing the audio-only version.
Right, correct. So I traded... So in 2022... I traded pick 16 and pick 98, which was a third rounder, to Green Bay in exchange for number 28, number 53, which was a second rounder, and number 92, which was a third rounder. So I got an extra pick by trading all the way down to the bottom of the first round.
Mm-hmm.
But I got another, a second rounder out of it.
Yeah. Which the Saints didn't have in 2022.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so what we're seeing now is this chart, this handy dandy chart that Tomas made that lists all my picks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got columns. First column is position,
second
where
column.
I mocked them, the number they were actually drafted at, and by the team, and then yeah. their current team. And then the final column is the verdict column.
Is where hit, we or miss.
Hit or miss. It's pass or fail.
Yeah.
There is no push. There is no grades on this like PFF.
Incomplete. There's no incomplete.
There's no thumbs up, thumbs. It is really thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs
this is
down.
Very Siskel and Ebert of us.
It is. It should have been thumbs up, thumbs down. Old
there's
school.
There's no thumbs
I like
in
this.
The middle. There's no push. There's nothing like that.
This no.
Is, there's no Dave Meltzer 5-star scale here.
And the thing is, these names, a lot of times, like if you're not a hardcore, the people that listen to our podcast are hardcore Saints fans, crazy about the Saints. But these aren't. None of these guys have really like. Really, really broken out. So you might first take a first glance at this draft and be like, oh, I don't know anything. It's whatever. It's
yeah,
not,
I
that's
think
not great.
You would recognize, I believe you would recognize Sky Moore only because he plays on the Chiefs.
Yes.
And the Chiefs are extremely dominant. So you're more likely to know who he is, even
yeah.
though.
But the rest of them.
Even though Sky Moore is not exactly a world beater. The fact that it's proximity to
yeah.
Patrick Mahomes.
So let's get going. The first pick, Thomas, you're going to put who was available right when he did the first pick.
Yeah, that's true. Let's see the actual graphic that I made 2 years ago. And Kevin could have picked Trevor Penning. We know that name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bernhard
yeah.
Raimann, a tackle. Malik Willis. QB or Treylon Burks, a wide receiver?
I mean, Kevin, I don't know if I want to call you really lucky or you were just brilliant because this batch of dudes is a bust bag. There's one dude in this group that isn't a complete and utter failure. And you got him, my friend. You picked him.
Yeah, Treylon Burks, like, Malik Willis is pretty much already gone. I mean, look, I could have told you that. I don't think you need to be the amazing Kreskin or whatever in order to have picked out that the guy who was a quarterback at Liberty University
wasn't going to be anything.
Pan out.
Yeah.
Treylon Burks, you know, I was just looking at it like the Saints needed a wide receiver, and ultimately they did end up getting a wide receiver with their first pick. They ended up taking Olave. Yeah, I think he's worked out quite
and
well.
And by the way... Burks yeah. went with the Saints' original pick from Philadelphia, I believe, because they traded yeah. it. They traded A.J. Brown. Tennessee traded A.J. Brown to Philly, and Philly gave them their first-round pick, and they used it on Burks. So I believe that was the Saints' original pick at 18.
I will take your word on that.
So, and he was so fat and out of shape and a bust.
So when it came down, so to me, it was like, do I want Trevor Penning or do I want Raymond? And I did a bunch of mock drafts where I was, you know, some mm-hmm. of them where I was picking Penning, some of them mm-hmm. where I was picking Raymond. And I ultimately settled on Raymond. I just thought that's like he big, strong dude. Give yeah. me the big, strong lad. He's 6'6". He's 300 pounds. And yeah, and then the Saints opted against
for
taking
Penny.
Him.
Yeah,
and they went with Olave, but he's played pretty well. Like
he's,
PFF,
yeah.
PFF has him graded right here. Like Tomas has him on the screen here, 82.3. They have him rated as the seventh best offensive tackle in the 2023 season.
Yeah, I mean he's not quite a star, but he's really good.
Breakout.
Really
like,
good.
Look, right. He's not.
And he's German.
Oh, well, there you go.
31 starts. I mean, he's
consistent starter.
Yes. He's exactly what the Saints need. It's exactly what the Saints need right now, and it's exactly what they needed when they picked Penning.
Right.
Yeah. Like.
Right. That's who they needed then, and that's who they would need now. Like, they would currently have him as presumably their starting left tackle.
Yeah. If they had drafted him, if they had drafted Olave and Raymond, we'd be like, Mickey Loomis's draft acumen is back. If they would have nailed those two picks, they could have just done a pass on every other pick in the 2022 draft, Kevin, and we'd be like, that's an A-plus draft. You got a stud receiver and a starting left tackle or a starting offensive tackle. That's a home run. This is a hit.
And
no
he
doubt.
Got drafted at 77 compared to Kevin's 19, by the way.
So if you want to ding me,
initially Kevin overdrafted. Initially.
Yeah. Well, I think I took him because he was so he just seemed highly touted. I think it was a reach even in the mock. Like I reached a little bit, but I didn't think he would have dropped down to 77. I'm trying to remember what was going, the process.
Yeah, and remember.
I had trouble remembering shit 2 weeks ago.
PFF gave you an A, so probably not.
Yeah, well, it was a need.
Oh, no, never mind. Look, PFF, there's the rating right there, 13th.
The big ball,
they had him rated 13th.
Yeah.
And he fell all the way to 77.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, that's
there must
great
have been
thing.
A gas mask situation or something. A real draft.
Well, it worked out for him, and it would have worked out for the Saints.
Yeah. So then you go in you've acquired more picks than the Saints really had. So the second pick, Thomas, who was available when Kevin was up at the second pick?
Tell us if it was a hit or a miss first.
It's a hit. It's a hit. Home run. Home run pick.
A home run? All right.
Home run.
Let me...
Don't be modest, Kevin. Stand up double.
I think it's a home run.
For a pick number 19, keep in mind for a pick number 19.
Yeah.
All right.
It would have been later, but.
The second pick, you say, guys. Let me show you who was available.
Now, this one's more interesting because we know who you picked.
Lewis Kine was available, a safety.
Right.
Malik Willis again. Sky Moore, wide receiver, obviously, and Kaiir Elam, a cornerback.
We know Willis, not any good. Kine was good, got injured.
Yeah.
Interesting player. I don't know Elam. Elam was, I don't know anything about, I don't know anything about him.
Kaiir
How is he?
Elam. Let's see. A cornerback, so.
Yeah. He would have been a need, you know?
He had two interceptions in 2022, and and then only played three games in 2023.
Ooh. Ooh. So this one is not so great. So you picked
So I ended up picking Sky Moore here, and out of those guys that are listed on the board, out of those four, certainly was the one that worked out the best.
The best. Yeah, I think you can argue. And he's not that, but the thing is, he's not that good. And
I mean, he's had 22 catches in 2022 and then 21 catches this past season. He's only had one receiving touchdown in his career. He's only had no rushing touchdown. Sorry. I thought I saw a rushing touchdown.
Yeah,
that's there. He is basically a number four, a weak number four or a weak number three or a number four wide receiver on the depth chart. So when you're looking at my overall mock draft, if you mm-hmm. want to nail my ass to the wall on something, it's so you passed on Olave or Olave wasn't there when you got him. And the receiver you did take is basically, you know, like.
He's Traquan Smith.
Like Traquan? Like a small man's Traquan?
Yeah, and the thing that makes, I think, Sky Moore is that you can't even say, well, it's been 2 years, maybe he's showing progress. Like, Kansas City won the Super Bowl in spite of having trash receivers besides Rishi Rice. And they drafted Sky Moore. They wanted Sky Moore to be a heavy contributor in year two, and he's just not. And he's got Patrick Mahomes, and he's on Kansas City, and he's still Traquan Smith. Right. So, I mean,
I think I was just excited about maybe having a wide receiver with Moore on the back of the jersey.
Yeah, probably so. You can
Lance, he is not. So
we could reuse the Moore jerseys. Kevin, I gotta say, I gotta give you a miss here. This is a miss.
Yeah. I'll say near miss, but miss. Because look, I think there's a if this guy, and look, he ended up being drafted 54th. If this was a guy that I took at 49 instead, maybe it is more defensible, but whether or not you still think it's a miss or not is whatever. But at 28, the production, it's a miss.
Yeah. And so we go to the third one. And this pick was interesting because this pick, the guy you ended up taking, Abraham Lucas, 2022, me and you both liked him in the mocks, and I gamble on Pac-10 football, so I kind of knew him a little bit, and I liked him. I was like, Washington State, I think he's going to be a good tackle. I thought that, so I liked him at 49. The thing is, in 2022, we loved him, and we were like, man, Seattle drafted both tackles, and they are looking good. But last year, Lucas got hurt and didn't play as much, so it's thing that you took him at 49. But here's my thing is, Kevin, if the Saints some kind of weird way wouldn't go offensive tackle at 14 and they pick a tackle this year at 45, the absolute best case scenario they can hope for is they get an Abraham Lucas that you took at 49 in 2022. That's the absolute best case, in my opinion, if you take a tackle in the second or the third round for the Saints. Yeah. Best case scenario. I'll tell you this.
Out of the four guys we're looking at, Abraham Lucas, Kirby Joseph, Breece Hall, and Kenneth Walker III, Breece Hall. Breece Hall was one of my mock draft darlings.
He was.
But I ended up going with Abraham Lucas because I just looked at it like, let's make sure we've got tackle secured.
Yeah.
Like, let's make sure.
Those two running backs were good. Both of those running backs, Walker got dinged up a little bit, but he was electric for Seattle in 2022. Breece Hall, great for the Jets, then got hurt, came back.
He was on his way. I think he was on his way to rookie of the year in
2022. Yeah, I think so too. I mean, the thing is, that's hard. It's hard to, when you look back with this pick that you took Lucas, the hardest thing is the Saints' desperate need at tackle.
Yeah.
It overrides, I think, even Hall, his ability at running back. I would still take Lucas.
You can't judge the mock draft necessarily by who they didn't take. You judge it by who they took.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like, obviously when we grade the Saints drafts, well then, yeah, you can look at it by, you look at it by who they took and how they did. And then as the years continue to pile on, then you start, you get to regrade and say, well, wait a minute, we missed out on this guy or this person or that person. But Abraham Lucas, like, these two guys, you would either have both of them starting, and Abraham Lucas started all 16 games in 2020, or started 16 games in 2022, and then only played six in 2023 before getting hurt. But you would have had one or two starting tackles for sure, and then a strong backup at the tackle position. So we would be entering this draft like, okay, tackle is probably a need depending on the status of Abraham Lucas's injury, but it wouldn't be a case of, oh my God, we need to get a tackle at 14. At least I'm saying this for me. I wouldn't be screaming we need a tackle at 14.
People on YouTube that are watching, they can see the receiver list. You can even argue that even though Sky Moore didn't work out, the receivers that you're gonna take later may alleviate that, and you may even be the Saints, if they had done this, they're in a much better place just because they're not desperate to tackle. But the next pick you do is a really interesting one.
Wait, we got to say hit or miss.
I think it's a hit. Okay. The injury is a little bit concerning, but like I just think like you can't. His rookie year and the fact that we know when he plays, he's a starting quality tackle.
He's better than Penning. It's a hit.
That's right. Touche.
I mean, that's our bar set pretty low, but you know, guys.
So if it turns out, like, look, if this coming season he plays a handful of games and he's hurt again, and then it becomes, oh, he's just an injury prone guy, then yeah, then we can, do the old New Orleans left and come back and say, all right, this guy was a miss. But for right now, hit.
Hit. So the next pick. Really interesting. Thomas, put who's available at pick 53 that Kevin had. So again, really interesting. Kerry Joseph, safety. Carson Strong, quarterback who had like leg issues. But his tape was incredible at Nevada. He was a huge darling. Trey McBride, Simpsons lawyer. Oh, no, not the Simpsons actor. Troy McBride, right? From the Simpsons.
Yeah, Troy McClure, yeah.
Troy McClure. And then...
You may remember me from such football plays as The Go.
And then Jalen Tolbert, wide receiver. So tell the people who you picked.
Wait a minute.
You picked...
Why do I know that name? Well, obviously, I know that name, football player, but he plays for the Cowboys now. Bully for him. I went with Trey McBride, the wide receiver, or not the wide receiver, the tight end, who would be catching. I was in love with this guy in a bunch of my mock drafts. 6'4", 246 pounds. Just, did you know he played basketball in college? Like, I was all about, give me another tight end that played basketball in college. Listen, PFF has him at 6'3". Wikipedia here has him at 6'4". Pro Football Reference has him at 6'4". So, let's split the difference and say 6'3.5". Yeah. So, he's 6'3.5".
Yeah.
Give me a big, sturdy tight end like this. This guy, his rookie year, okay, 29 catches. 265 yards. That's like standard. Slightly below average.
No, that's
below modern average.
No, that's good for a rookie tight end. Like rookie tight ends really struggle. Look at Graham.
I'll take your word on it.
Look at Graham. Look at Mr. Taylor Swift. Like they, like a good, even the good tight ends like Jimmy Graham, you catch 25 to 40, 30-ish balls your rookie year, and then your second, your third year, you go boom. The Porters of the world, like they don't, that doesn't happen. Like you don't drop a tight end in and they're good. Like, even Gronk, like look at Gronk. He wasn't like spectacular his rookie year. Like McBride, if you told me the Saints drafted a tight end and he caught 30 balls his rookie year, I'd be like, yes, that's a good bet. And he went from 30, 29 to 81. And
Gronk's rookie year, my man.
What is Gronk's rookie year?
He had 42 catches for 546 yards and 10 touchdowns.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's the best of all time. What did Graham have, though?
Graham cracker. Let's see. Jimmy Graham. First one that comes up. Good for him. 31 catches, 5 touchdowns.
There you go. Really good. Okay. That's like McBride having 29 catches, that's a really good rookie year. It's solid.
So McBride showing up, I would say okay. It was an okay rookie year then. I would still lean slightly below, but whatever. Second year, sophomore season, 81 catches.
Kaboom.
825 yards, three touchdowns. The guy has obviously taken a giant leap. You put that guy on this Saints team, you know, we're throwing parades for this cat.
And remember, he didn't have Kyler Murray for six, seven games of this year.
Right.
So
he, I mean,
you know,
imagine if you've got, you know, like, because then you're probably not thinking, oh, I'm going to sign Foster Moreau, or maybe you're going to rest, you know, maybe not throw Taysom out there as much at tight end. Who knows? But you got this big, sturdy guy out there as another wide receiving option. And suddenly it's like, do you have to throw? Oh, Ralph's having a shit in the chat. Do you have to throw, can't guard Mike out there as much? I don't know. Like, I see a guy, this is a guy that should fit on just about any team. Like, I don't know. I don't know. I can't articulate it, and I know that sucks.
Listen, no,
podcast here, and I'm supposed to talk. This guy to me, this is a hit. This was the hit.
This might be
more than Bernard Raymond. This is the hit.
This is the hit because you look at him, and if you're a fantasy player or you're just an NFL watcher, like he looks to me like as we have chaos in the Marlboro House. He looks to me like he's going to be a star. Like you look at certain tight ends like Travis Kelce getting older, right? And you start to see the tight ends sort of fading away. Like he's going to be in 2 years, he's going to be getting incredible amounts of money from Arizona or whoever. And I just think he's going to be one of the next guys at tight end.
He's a guy that should be that could very well become in the top third of tight ends in the league. Like this is a guy who, depending on the size of your fantasy, if somebody doesn't take him as their number one, he's going to be somebody's high number two, and you're going to draft him at some point in your draft, and people are going to be like, oh shit, I wanted that guy as my number one, and it's going to be some poor bastard who doesn't have a tight end yet. He's one of those guys that's going to fit in on a fantasy team. Mm-hmm. And he's just going to be a solid contributor, but I mean, really on the gridiron, like fucking. Again, 81 catches.
Yeah, 81 catches.
800 yards.
A hit.
The touchdowns will get there in time.
Yeah,
he doesn't even need to have insane numbers like double digits. If he even just gets 5 or 6, that's insane. That's
well,
great.
The thing is, we know.
800 yards, 5 touchdowns in perpetuity, and that makes him a great tight end.
The top five. I think, like, we know touchdowns fluctuate wildly. Like, you could go, you'll have a guy that'll go 3-4, 3-4, 3-4, and then 11, and then back to, you know, 5 or 6. So, like, touchdowns to me is the last, like, I know it's weird, but, like, touchdowns is the last thing I look at for receivers. I just think it's so. It's such a kind of random thing. So this to me, actually, this pick, McBride, and the next pick that you make is really what takes this draft to an incredible level.
If you look at the number here, I was pretty close to where he ended up.
That's right.
Ended up getting picked. Now PFF had him rated 64, and PFF grade. This was the lowest grade that PFF gave me on my mock draft. Yeah. They rated that a C minus. PFF can, you know, kiss my ass.
Well, you know, yeah. And look,
so we go to pick 92. This was the, this was the last pick I got from the Packers. So Tomas, you want to show there we go.
Yeah.
So we had another one of my mock draft darlings, Bailey Zappe at quarterback.
That's right.
Donovan West, the center out of Arizona State, and running back Damian Pierce.
That was one of my darlings. And I know the Saints, there was people in the Saints building that loved Damian Pierce and really wanted him. And Romeo Dobbs.
I think he's turned out pretty good. Like
he was good his rookie year. This last year for the Texans,
he got hurt.
He got hurt, fell out of favor.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at it. Yep.
So,
right. So I ended up overdrafted him again.
And you overdrafted him again. But Romeo Doubs is another guy like McBride, significant progress.
Right. Year, but PFF had him rated 94.
Yeah.
So I had him in line with PFF. Mm-hmm. And I ended up getting a B on that. On you know, they gave me a B grade for that.
Yeah.
But let me pull him up.
Where he's progress. I mean, he's. I would say he, after 2 years, is looking like a very, very high end three receiver, or like a very solid two. Like a, he's a nice receiver.
Yeah. And you know what? He's either a great number three, or he's a low end two because. Yeah. Again, rookie season, 42 catches, 3 touchdowns, 400 yards, 425 yards. Second season, bit of a sophomore jump, 59 catches, 674, mm-hmm. and 8 touchdowns.
Yeah.
So, you know, yards, what is that, yards per game? Yeah, mm-hmm. that, you know, the yards per game's, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, but 41 first down catches, like...
Yeah.
I like that. The move the sticks guy. That's
right.
To me, that's a solid number three. So in this draft, I pick Sky Moore, who is basically a number four, and Romeo Doubs, who is a solid three.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe can become a two.
Yeah. I mean, this pick is an absolute hit. And to me, Kevin, this is the pick that really drives this draft to another level, in a sense of if we're comparing it to the Saints 2022 draft, the actual draft, you're looking at Olave, home run, Penning, complete bust, Alante Taylor, really solid corner. You're looking at those three. You got four guys. You've hit on three. You got two tackles, and The thing that makes it hard is if I say, hey, am I taking Kevin's draft or I'm taking the Saints' actual draft? I say, well, man, Olave is so good. But right. Your draft, because you took another receiver, you missed on Moore, but you hit on Doubs and you hit on the tackles. And I'm like, I kind of would take your draft just in, I know I'm giving up Olave, and I know Doubs. He ain't Olave. It's not the same, not yet at least. It's not the same guy. It's not. Right. They're not in the same class.
Right. I have three pass catchers here.
Yeah.
I have three pass catchers. Two of which look like they can be something.
That's right.
And it's like, you're telling me that what? We're going to have to rely on Juwan Johnson, Taysom Hill when they decide to play him at tight end, and Foster Moreau, and then, you know, Equanimeous St. Brown, the law firm of Equanimeous St. Brown, Stanley Morgan, and Cedric Wilson Jr.
That's right.
Come on now. Come on.
I mean,
I would take Sky Moore over two of those guys at least. Look, that's me. Maybe I'm being a little, you know, whatever. But
yeah, I mean,
I would take Romeo Doubs over all three of those guys. I'd take 100%. Sky Moore over two of them. And at worst, Trey McBride. I almost called him Troy McClure. Trey McBride is your number two tight end, and as soon as Juwan Johnson is gone, there's your number one guy. Or shit, maybe they decide to trade. Maybe they've already traded Juwan Johnson.
That's right.
Who knows?
So you got another hit, in my opinion, with Doubs, and that means you got four. You got four out of five hits in this draft. Yeah. But
this goes back to what is my overall Tom Hanks and Saving Private Ryan? Our objective is to win the war. What is my overall objective when I do mock drafts? Acquire more picks. Okay.
Yeah.
Get more bullets in the chamber. Yeah. So I didn't hit on Sky Moore, but I grabbed another wide receiver and I hit on that guy. Yeah. I also grabbed another pass catching and I grabbed a tight end. You look at the two tackles. Okay, Abraham Lucas got hurt in 2023, but Bernard Raymond, he's still a starter and he is solid.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is, the thing that I really like about this draft is, and look, I am with you on the trading down. I believe you acquire picks, but the one caveat that I have is my thing is get me picks in the top 120. Like, I don't want, like, if you like the
you don't
Saints,
want the
like
scrubs.
Those, I don't like those 4 5th round picks they have this year. Like, to me, Kevin, it's great. It's better to have picks than not.
Right.
But let's be realistic. If they get one guy who is a serious contributor or a serious starter out of those 4 5th round picks, they'll be doing pretty good. Like, to me, I like the fact that when you did the trade, you didn't, it's not a bunch of fourths, fifths, and sixth round picks. It's, you got extra picks in the top 100. Give yourself a fighting chance. You nailed it. So, I mean,
so and we'll spin this to present day with 2024. I've come around to packaging two of those fives and even one of the sixths into trying to move into the top, into moving into the top 100. Because you can probably get at the bottom 100, you know, around pick 100 by packaging those together.
The hardest thing with the Saints, and this is what I was arguing with people on Twitter today, because they were saying, oh, you know, more picks, they're just like, well, they're just going to make, you're not going to get starters in these rounds probably, although you just did. So you just proved that you can find a starter. They're like, well,
they need a starter.
You need they don't need bodies. They drafted all these people and they're not working out. What is you need picks and you don't, you need picks in the top third. You need first round picks become starters. The rest is just lottery picks and backups. But I'm like, the thing with
the
Saints,
by that logic, trade everything and just get 3 first round picks and that's it.
The hard thing is for the Saints, Kevin, is they're the needle they have to thread. This year, they got to nail 14. They got to nail 45. And they got to hope that one of those fives turns into something. Whereas you didn't go crazy and go crazy, Kevin, unrealistic. I acquired 20 picks. I acquired 15. You just did a simple.
I've done those. Don't worry.
He's done it. You just did a simple trade down. Give yourself, you know, a couple extra picks in the top 100. And that's what I wish the Saints. I wish the Saints, because I wish the Saints, if they could get trade down and go from 2 top 100 picks to 4, I just think they increase their margin of error so much that it would help them tremendously. And that's why I like this. I mean, this draft, you're freaking killing it. This draft is the kind of draft that the Saints, they desperately need to have, because this is the kind of draft that sets up teams for a year. But Thomas, let's get to the next.
It's like the movie Animal House. We need the guys.
So this is pick 120.
So I was looking at, I can't remember if defensive tackle was a need. I assume it was based on how I handled everything. Noah Ellis from the Vandals, Neil Farrell Jr., Josh Joby from cornerback out of Alabama, and then Lesita Smith, guard from VA Tech.
Yeah.
I ended up going with the LSU guy.
I remember Juge hated that pick because he said that Farrell
was terrible. He kind of is. I mean,
Listen, it's pick 120.
Yeah.
And at that point, I don't know. I was just like, I think I was more going with, let me grab a hometown guy. Let me grab the home state football player and try and make some people happy.
Yeah.
With that. And yeah, I mean, that's really all.
He's already on his, he got drafted by the Raiders.
Yeah. He's the only on his second team.
He's on his second team already. I mean, that's a miss.
Yeah.
But like, is it like, to me, once you get out of pick, this is like right at the end of the range where there's an argument of you should nail that pick. I'm like, it's not in the top 100. You took a swing. You missed.
Yeah,
I mean,
and he only played 3 games with the Chiefs last season. So
yeah. I mean, it, I mean, it's a miss, but you know, par for the course. Saints are struggling to pick. Well, no, they got Brissy at defensive tackle, but I mean, you know, these last three picks, if you get anything out of them, you're doing well. So the next guy.
And so Neil Farrell ended up going at 126 to the Raiders. So it was pretty close. Guys, can we take a pause for a second? Because I really need to make a pit stop.
All right. Well, Kevin's going to make a pit stop. And I'm going to tell people while he's doing that, Thomas, to please support the podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to our channel and go to saintshappyhour.com. Support the show. Listen, we have almost 300 patrons that support us, allow us to do this show every year. Every week, allow us to do a live show every year. We're going to do one again during the football season. But Kevin, you're back. Thanks for joining us. I was just plugging the box.
No. I heard you. You couldn't hear me. Thank God. I had the mic muted.
There you go. So let's get back to your draft. We got two more picks.
You sure about that?
I feel pretty good.
So let's get. Let's get back. We got two more picks to go. So, what pick number are we at, and who's available
was available because we did it. We did only six.
The names.
Top six.
Yeah. So the last. Let's just do the last two names on the list.
Okay. So the last two, I ended up picking defensive tackle Noah Ellis. He fell another 40 some odd picks, and it turns out PFF had him rated at 130, and he ended up going undrafted. The Eagles ended up picking him, and he's still with the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
And then at pick 194, I grabbed Nephi Sewell from Utah.
Yep.
He was rated 159 by PFF. He was also undrafted, and the Saints picked him.
And listen, he's still with him. I would say that he got hurt. And he blew out his knee, so his career. You know, he's one of these guys. Like, you blow out your knee, you're a UDFA. His career is in doubt. But before that, Kevin, he blocked the punt for the Saints, correct? And he had carved out like a role on special teams for the Saints, where like he was a dude that was like, you're gonna make this roster because of what you do on special teams. And if you draft that guy in the sixth, seventh round, and that's what they do, that's perfectly fine. Like, that's perfectly fine. You know, like, Zach Bond, he was a bust for the Saints because they desperately wanted to pick him in the first round, and they ended up picking him, you know, high up. But if they had picked him in the sixth or seventh round, and he was only on special teams and doing really good, like, that's fine. Like, to me, you pick a guy in sixth, seventh round, and they do something for you and stick on your roster, it's a win. It's a hit. I mean, it's not a grand slam. It's more like an infield single, but you got on base.
Yeah, and I'll say miss for Noah Ellis.
Yeah.
He hasn't played. Like, I have no numbers.
No numbers.
Yeah, no stats.
On Noah Ellis, so, yeah.
Yeah. But another hit. So you only missed on... You only missed on two of these picks.
No, the three. Draft. Three.
What? Three.
Sky missed... Moore, Neil Farrell, and Noah Ellis.
I mean, that's missed. I mean, that this is an incredible draft that it's not like the 2017 draft where you look at it and you're like, this is freaking spectacular.
Right.
But to me, it's more like the 2006 draft for the Saints, where we knew it was really good because we're like, they got Jari Evans and they got Roman Harper and they got Reggie Bush. But then the further along you went, you're like, oh yeah, and you got Zach Strief and you got and so it's just an A+ draft. And this is the kind of draft teams dream about. And these are the kinds of drafts that, like, pro personnel director Kevin Held gets a GM job off of. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are those kinds of drafts. You should be really proud. It only took, you know, 9,000 mocks on the draft simulator.
Right. And look, I mean, it's three of the eight were misses, but the misses came round four and below.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you look at Sky Moore, miss for where he was drafted.
Yeah.
But he's plays in the league.
Yeah, like I would say for you, he's a miss because you picked him first round. Yeah. For Kansas City, I bet you their fans, they don't so much grade him as a miss because they picked him at 54. They probably grade him as like a disappointment, right? Like Traquan, we don't call Traquan like, he's not like a bust, right? Like we didn't view Traquan as like a complete and utter failure because he got a second contract with the Saints, but he wasn't really good. He's in that weird zone of like, not quite a bust, but not any good.
Yeah.
But they gave him a second contract. So what do we think about him? But to me, of all the things this draft helps prove, the trade down, more picks is better. Like that's obvious. But the one really subtle thing that it does that to me, I used to be very against it, but I've gone 180 degrees, is the double dip.
Yeah.
I love it. And the Saints, they can't, it's really hard to do when you don't have a lot of picks, right? But I still love it. Like, especially at an area of need,
right?
Because it just, to me, and I'll let you talk about it, is to me, it shows that like a team or you have a lack of ego in a sense of a lot of teams would be like, we don't need a receiver. We picked Sky Moore. We're done with that. We go on to the next need. Whereas you are like, no, I don't know if Sky Moore is going to be any good. I'm going to pick another one and we'll see how it shakes out. And I love that way of thinking.
Right. Like my thinking with the Abraham Lucas thing was there's no guarantee that both of these guys will be any good. I mean, why not grab two and say, if we really hit on one of these guys, if one of these guys is a good player, then it was worth grabbing both of them because it was backup. It was just like, in case.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. And here's the thing, like, you hit like you did with both of them and they're both starters. Worst case is, oh my God, you missed on both.
Okay.
Fire you, go to the XFL. But maybe you hit on, Raymond and you know, even if Lucas was like Landon Young for the Saints, right? Where he is a backup and he's not awful when he played, but he's hurt all the time and he's probably never going to be a starter. That's not terrible. Like I just, the double dip, I used to hate it. And I've come around in my old age. Is there, when you look at this draft and you try to push it forward to the Saints, and listen, I'm not going to pretend, Kevin, to get your hopes up about trading down, because I feel like that's like with the Saints, like they're so desperate at offensive tackle. I have a hard time seeing them get to 14. And if there's a guy they like at 14 at offensive tackle, I can't see a team giving Loomis enough to be like, okay, that's so much draft capital. We're not going to take a tackle and we're going to move down to 20 or 21 and potentially miss out on this tackle that we have rated at 12 or 13 for this extra pick. Most teams would do it. You would do it. I would do it. I don't see them. I see them so desperate at tackle, they're boxed in, is what I'm trying to say, I guess.
I have nothing. That's a real good assessment. And like, that's part of I've run into that in a lot of the mocks when I'm going beyond 20, mostly because shit, probably creeping down to like 17, 18 now, because the tackles, if there's you get Olu and then the other fella that I can't remember his name right now. I'm blanking on because I'm looking at 2022 here.
Mm-hmm.
If those two guys are gone,
yeah,
you have to completely revamp your thought process on the draft.
Here's a question because
then you say, all right, now the edge guy is there. Then I got to grab the edge guy. But then Kautanu. If you wait to 45, the tackle that'll be there, it's either going to be the Yale guy or the other guy that potentially needs coaching up. And so then you know you have to grab another tackle sooner rather than later to make sure you get a guy that can pot. Again, the thing about the draft is you need to get a starter.
You need a starter coming out
of this draft at tackle.
Here's my question to you. And I think last thing before we get out of here. And I want to thank Thomas for doing this these graphics. This is a great idea, Thomas.
I think we can do more. If you guys have any suggestions, like you want me to show different stats, just message me or Ralph.
Yeah, in the Discord. By the way, that's another perk of the Saints Happy Hour patrons. They get in our Discord where Kevin's doing mock drafts all day, and I've sort of transitioned from Twitter/X or whatever the hell that is to I'm in the Discord all the time. I love it. But here's my question, Kevin, and you made a great point about you probably think those 4/5, they're probably going to try to do a package deal and move back into like the top 120 or 100. So if you were the Saints, or they're not going to trade down, but they might do what we've both said we love is double dipping. If I said to you, the Saints are going to double dip at either offensive tackle or defensive line, but they're only going to double dip once because they're limited at picks. Like maybe they go offensive tackle 14, 45, they pick whatever, and then they package the fifths, move back in and get another offensive tackle or defensive lineman. What would you prefer they do if they're going to double dip? What do you see in this draft at defensive end, defensive line, or offensive tackle? What do you think is more likely for them to hit if they double dip at one of those positions?
Well, if they moved back into the top 100, and again, I'm looking at what the PFF rank here has, you've got two players from Washington. Mm-hmm. You got Braylon Trice, who's an edge defender, and Roger Rosengarten, who's a tackle. Those guys are right at 100 or at 98 and 99, respectively. Mm-hmm. You got Patrick Paul, who I don't know. Like, I've picked him in mocks before, and I've had people point out stuff.
Got
about,
the pterodactyl like, length. You got the pterodactyl.
Oh no, that's part of why I picked him. The guy's 6'7" and 315. Yeah. I mean, you know, a giant walking the earth. And then there's the Kansas guy, who's also a tackle. It's like, if you're going to pick a backup and you're going to double dip, I guess I like the idea of taking a shot with a tackle because there are more guys out there.
Ah, gotcha.
But you have to then, but it's like you have to go tackle, edge, tackle, and then just throw whatever. And then if you hit on one of those tackles, then you know you've got a starter. In the event you hit on both, then you have arguably fixed the Saints' offensive line, or at least put yourself in a much better position to fixing the offensive line.
That's right. And the thing is, Kevin, with offensive line, getting a tackle in free agency is becoming damn near impossible. Like teams are just like, even the bad teams are like, we got a guy, he starts, he's good, we're paying him.
Right.
And it used to be you could go and you could get a tackle in free agency. You could get a guard. You could still get guards, I think. But the thing is, to get a starting guard in free agency, if you failed at drafting them, if you want to get a starting guard in free agency, $12 million a year, $14 million is the starting point for like a good workman-like guard. So like, just I would love it. Like you, if you got me two offensive linemen out of the first three, I would love it. Because to me, if they don't fix this offensive line, Kevin, Carr's more like hurt. Whatever the hell Kubiak wants to do isn't likely to work, and that's going to doom Dennis Allen. Like they got to fix this offensive line, and I know it's tooting our own horn about the double dipping. I don't think one guy's at 14's fixing the line. Like I just don't, you know?
Right. But, and that's why you have to hope that if you stay at 14, the person you pick at 14 hits and hits big. So yeah. I just looked at the draft tech trade value chart, which originated with Jimmy Johnson.
And it's tweaked a little bit since then.
But the idea, the concept.
The idea of it, yeah. It's his baby.
So I added up all the points for all the fifth round picks, and they come out to 100.4.
Mm-hmm.
So you could feasibly trade all those picks and get a draft pick that's worth about 100 points. And that would land you at pick 100, which is the very end of round three, which is held by the Washington Commanders. If you wanted to add the two sixth rounders, and I'm not saying that it would end up having to be this, because I can't see a team parting with six picks, even if they are fives and the sixes.
Don't put a challenge to Mickey Loomis, Kevin. I can't
see Mickey doing that. I mean, yeah, it wouldn't be as egregious as, you know, Ditka trading everything for Ricky Williams, but you're trading six picks to get one. Mm-hmm. And at that point, that becomes, you have to grab that guy. So even if you did that, you would only move up from pick 100 overall to pick 93 overall.
Yeah.
So again, it's not.
I think
the value is going to be, potentially, if you stay at 14, maybe the value is moving back slightly from 45 to something else, and then using the fifth and the sixes as leverage to then grab another thing from another team that has something in the third round.
Yeah.
You would go a little bit later in the second, but then you would be able to.
I think that's the key. I think the Saints, ideally, you want to try to figure out a way to get picks between 45 and 150, if you're the Saints, get two picks between there, not mortgage the future,
right?
And not burn all the. They're probably going to do like pick 50, and if I know the Saints, like a pick 50 and a 20-25 fourth, and get to pick like 120 or something. Like that's what they'll do. I know you're shaking your head.
They've only got six picks in 2025.
I know.
They've only got six right now.
I know.
You can't be doing that.
No, you cannot do that.
Somebody in the draft room, somebody in the war room
needs to take a
syringe or something with some sort of numbing agent and just jam it in Mickey's like leg when he's not looking or when he goes to sit down, and just make him numb. Maybe it's Novocaine. Yeah. Maybe it's a big dose of Novocaine. And you just make him numb. So when he tries to dial the phone, he's doing it with his wrist or some shit, and he can't hit the numbers correctly.
No.
So the screen won't register his pressure.
No trading top 100 picks from 2025.
No trading anything in 2025. Trading anything.
I wouldn't go that far.
No trading anything in 2025. Because if we do that, then guess what I'm going to be on. Listen, you trade something from 2025. Guess what I'm going to be for the entire season. We're trading out of the first round to accumulate as much as possible to restack the deck that you gave away and then try and get more stuff so we have a shot at building depth on a team. Don't put me in this position, Mickey. This is very important to me. Think about me.
Think about me here. That's right. Just come on, Mickey. Just give us a taste. Just trade down from like 45 to 60. Pick up an extra fourth so we can have a party. Saints happy hour. By the way,
if he even goes from 14 to 16 or 17, he can get picks.
Yeah.
He can get stuff out of this.
Yeah.
He can get extra stuff out of this.
Like to me, my dream scenario for the Saints, and we can talk about it on your mock when you do your mock or during the week, which we'll do a ton of draft coverage. And by the way, me and Thomas and Kevin, after the main show last week, we were trying to plan the drafting. We're like, well, we start at like pick 10, you know, like 20, 30 minutes before the Saints are on the clock. And Thomas was like, we're going to have it all planned out the exact time. And then the Saints are going to trade up like bitches and they're going to go to pick 6 and they're going to throw the show into chaos. We're going to everything will be a fire drill. But my dream, Kevin, trade down just slight from like you say, like 14 to 17, still get your offensive tackle, but get like another top 100 pick. And then you have 3. And to me, that just gives them a little bit more wiggle room. So,
yeah,
guys, thanks for joining us. I have enjoyed this exercise immensely. This is a tremendous job, tremendous idea by you, Thomas. I hope everybody enjoyed this exercise. Other people don't do this. They just do 1,000 mock drafts and then flush them down the toilet and forget them and just tell you about all the picks they got right and got wrong. We went through it. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it gives you insight on what the Saints may do in 2024. We'll have you covered for draft week, which starts next week. So for Thomas, for Kevin, I'm Ralph. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, the bar is closed.
Wipe right on a tackle.